Spirituality. My name is Kat, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, DC Love, and our wildly popular guest speaker, James Carr. He is a conceptual artist who will enlighten us on the secret of art. I'm sorry, and the spirit of art, and his experiences in quantum physics. This year promises to give you thought-provoking topics, how-to practices, and tools and techniques to add to your own spiritual toolbox. A Mother Mary sound healing will be transmitted at the beginning of the show. And tonight we focus on healing modalities, detoxification of our mind, body, spirit, and more. Additionally, be prepared to be taken on a magical metaphysical wild ride of what the bleep moments for from myself and James Carr, along with an oracle card reading for the collective at the end of the show. Okay. So I want to start with my bio. Again, my name is Kat, and I'm a natural-born intuitive empath, angelic intuitive, clairvoyant energy healer, medium spiritual exploration, and shamanic life coach, as well as a holistic health and wellness practitioner and mindfulness coach, and a mental health ambassador. My metaphysical experiences began as a child and continue to this day. To learn more, find me on the Sacred Embers Network. DC?
Beautiful, Kat. Thank you. My journey started a little differently, I think, than most. It started with cookies flying off of countertops, my cell phone texting me, and spirit sitting on me to get my attention. And in doing so, I found myself here, you know, connecting with so many beautiful spiritual people. And the next thing I knew, I really got into this journey. I was certified with the American Federation of Certified Psychics and Mediums in 2017, and they named me the world's most recommended female psychic medium with that group. I'm an angel intuitive, a conscious channel, a divine soul healer, an empath, an animal communicator, a seer, an ordained minister, a divine life coach, and a spiritual soul healer. But the really cool thing about my journey is how I acquired some of the education that I use to first help myself and then others. I attended schools of higher learning, and in my case, I went to heaven several times, and I acquired some of the knowledge, like I said, to help me first and then others. And you always hear, if you snooze, you lose. Well, certainly that was not true in my case. I channel and I bring forth divine guidance and healing from Jesus, Mother Mary, the Ascendant Masters, the angels, my in-spirit dog, Ginger, and my not-so-divine guide, Joan Rivers. Joan truly is divine. It did take me quite a while to realize that. And she began connecting with me when she was in a coma. At that time, she threatened me, and we've been together ever since. But it's really unusual because Joan has left the door open, and those on the other side in her space walk through that door continually. And it really helps me to have, you know, access to ironic but yet fascinating mixtures of divine source. And I feel in doing so, it provides me with the ability to relate and work with a wide variety of people from all walks of life.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's amazing. James, you want to give your bio?
Yeah, I'm an artist. I do conceptual artwork. It is almost invariably going to be oil and canvas. I have a different outlook on art than probably most artists, because even though it's clear that I have an innate talent to it, my mother also had that talent, but I believe that quantum mechanics comes into this play. And the reason I think that is because I feel that I channel much of the work that I do, if not all of it, in some sense, whether it's a living model or it's, you know, an arrangement of flowers or a rose or whatever, they have that energy. They then can somehow or another in this great universe are able to perceive that there's an observation of them. I don't even think a human model is aware of that. It's just something that's not in their consciousness. Usually end up taking a photo that I actually paint from, but that energy somehow is transferred from me through the brush and onto the canvas. Now, you know, is there talent involved? You know, undoubtedly so. There's many, many artists that have probably more talent than I may have, but I've always been involved in the arts. I did a lot of writing when I was younger. I have a master's in English, actually, and I've written plays and whatnot. And I actually didn't start painting until about halfway through my life. I'm not going to tell you that because then you'll know how old I am. Actually am. But that's okay. I'm getting up there. But, you know, I still, one thing that I'm sorry?
I said you like a fine wine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Exactly. I've got that aging process, I guess. But, you know, and I've always pretty much, even though I've been involved in business much of my life, my career was in marketing, public relations and whatnot. But I always was interested in spiritual, in a pursuit of spiritual awareness and, you know, I mean, at some point you become, you know, connected with the whole universal spirit. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that when we get to What the Bleep at the end of the program, because I had some of those situations at a time when I was doing a lot of meditation, and I feel that I kind of became more ascended in my spiritual awareness. At any rate, so I guess you would say I am an artist, I'm a spiritualist, and yes, I also do practical matters like advertising, marketing, and public relations. And that would be my bio.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. DC?
At this time, I'd like to begin with the sound healing. And I just suggest that everybody sit comfortably. You can close your eyes and relax. And, you know, just breathe comfortably. As you do, you may notice Mother Mary coming into your energy. She comes in and she actually connects with all of us. So I'm going to start now. So just close your eyes. Sit comfortably and please just breathe. when you're ready, come back, please. Take your time. Open your eyes and just move your arms and your legs, your feet a little bit. Yes, Kat, as soon as the music started, I just saw like a golden column of light, and we went like up so fast.
Yeah, me too.
And I could feel like it just felt weird because we just like left the earth and we just went up so fast. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's continual at this point, isn't it? We just get shot up.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And that's yes. Unbelievable.
It's beautiful. And then we're getting shot up even further.
And feel it though. Could you feel it in your head? Like I got a little lightheaded because it was so fast.
I did, and I could feel it in my hand.
Yeah, definitely.
I had hands here, and I could feel it just in my hands, and my feet were tingling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just the visions are so beautiful over the earth.
Oh, they are.
Family, you know, all the way back to the beginning of time, our planetary starseed families, you know, the airport where every military base where there's active, you know, members that are, you know, helping world peace over the capital, over a sacred or a shadow government, over the sacred places, you know, of the world. Those are visions that all came in. You know, and at one point it's just the music is, the healing is being sent out, you know, through all of the universe.
Oh,
you know, you just see that and you feel it, and it's just really amazing. So thank you.
Yeah, it really is. Well, with that being said, I'm going to read the Mother Mary Rose, Channeled Rose Healing. And here's how it began. Kat and I connected with her beautiful friend who at the time was in hospice care. And as we each slept and we were in different places, and I, of course, a different state, we astral traveled at 3 a.m. to heaven. And there we connected with Mother Mary. And she walked with us on this beautiful, magnificent beach where we immediately saw the beautiful white waves and the amazing sand. And then we watched as Mother Mary began to walk into the water. And, you know, she was going a little bit deeper, but her dress was not getting wet. We stood there in amazement. And at that time, I began to channel this beautiful, sacred red rose healing as we each walked along the beach. I then realized that we were at the eternal beach of heaven, and this, of course, was the perfect atmosphere to release what no longer serves us. And it was really beautiful because my channeling, in fact, was so synchronistic with Kat's beautiful channeled message to her friend. And in that message, she mentioned sacred gardens with beautiful flowers that nourish our hearts, our minds, and our souls. So synchronistic. And at that point, Mother Mary gave each of us a sacred red rose, which she, in fact, placed within our hearts. And as I continue reading the channeled healing, you too will have an opportunity to have a sacred red rose placed within your heart by Mother Mary. All you have to do is say yes, and you could say it quietly as I begin to read the channeled healing. I do have to explain to each of you that healing does not have to take a lot of time, and this channeling is a significant healing tool as well as being very powerful. It does address all issues. It can be read for a family member to help them with their healing process or even gifted to a friend. Mother Mary has heard your prayers and she knows the suffering that you have endured. She asks that you trust in her divine abilities. We are going to release and let go of all that no longer serves us, including cellular memory, emotional wounds inflicted on you as a child, limitations, ancestral roots that need healing, and pain that has traveled through family lines. So you could sit or lay comfortably, close your eyes, slowly begin to breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth. One more time, in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Now envision a beautiful, sacred red rose that is filled with unconditional love being placed within your heart by Mother Mary. As you breathe, imagine your breath going directly into your heart. And as you continue to breathe, the sacred rose begins to bloom. As it does, it brings with it heavenly blessings. And these blessings are filled with divine healing, trust, and courage, and will help you with whatever circumstances you are facing. You now take a moment and you place your intentions into the beautiful sacred rose. You feel a beautiful warmth upon your body as divine love and light fill every fiber of your being. This beautiful energy connects with every cell in your body, and it brings healing wherever it is needed. You now feel Mother Mary holding you in her heavenly embrace as she continues to fill your entire being with this divine and loving energy, which also heals any situation you are concerned about. This amazing healing will continue to take place on all levels, physical, emotional, spiritual, and even on a soul's level until all healing is complete. You will feel Mother Mary's divine essence within your heart, knowing that you have an unlimited supply of divine resources that are within your sacred rose, and they are available to you when needed. Mother Mary's divine healing has no limitations. It can go wherever love can go, and as we know, love heals all wounds and removes all obstacles. I love you, Mother Mary. So with that being said, Kat, in honor of our guest, I have a little prayer.
Okay.
Lord, remember your artists. Have mercy upon them, and remember with compassion all those that reflect the good, the ill, the strengths, and the weaknesses of the human spirit. Remember those who raise their voices in unending song and those who pour their souls into music loud and soft. Remember those who put pigment to the surface, carve wood and stone and marble, who work base metals into beauty, those building upward from earth toward heaven. Remember those who put thought to paper by computer and by pen, the poets who delve, the playwrights who analyze and proclaim, the dreamers up of narrative, all those who work with the light and shadows of film. Remember the actors moved by spirit and the dancers moving through space. Remember all these artists whom you have placed among us, for are they not, O Lord, the fellows of your inspiration? Do they not, Lord God, bring to your people great proof of your divinity and our part in it? Remember your artists and show them mercy and compassion that they may do the same and so uplift all your people, that they may cry forth your praises as we do here. Amen, amen, amen. And Kat, with that being said, before you read my channeling, because I'm losing my voice, I would just like to say, you know, Bridging the Gap is an amazing show on the Sacred Embers Network, but we also have a few more shows. We have Angel Answers, we have Enter the Light, and we have The Lighthouse. And I think that's about all I could say, Kat.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that channeling. That was a beautiful prayer.
Oh, thank you. God bless you both. Have a great show. Oh, you're welcome, James. Thank you both.
Good night, Sissy. Okay. So I'm going to read DC Love, my co-host, channeling for Saint Germain. Beloved, I am a being of violet fire. I am the purity God desires. I, Saint Germain, come before you today as many changes are happening in the world. I am joined by Mother Mary and Jesus. We will guide you, through all that has been occurring within and around you. What is happening to you? Pino erupting within your soul. The deep emotions you have been suppressing must surface, be felt, and acknowledged. This volcano that is erupting within is powerful and must be released. As you continue forward, we will remain with you, along with other Ascended Masters, angels, and guides. You will gain strength through the challenges you are facing. As you continue your journey upward on this mountain-like volcano, do not stop until you have arrived at the very top. There you will see this explosive energy erupt. Continue to resonate with your beliefs, demonstrate your core values, and you will become confident in all that you do. The hot lava will help you to release anger, anxiety, and stress you are holding on to. Please remember, you are never given more than you can handle. So get ready for explosions of miracles and manifestations that will help you to create the life of your dreams. Please use the knowledge you have gained on this spiritual journey to help yourself and then all of humanity. Focus on love. There is love within every soul. Share your love with all you meet. We are all one, and love is all there is. Are you ready to connect with your great I Am presence and the violet flame that will ignite your God spark and will transform it into a mighty flame? Please affirm, I am ready. Say it to yourself or out loud. Do this. Your life will change in the most amazing ways from this point on. So sit comfortably with your eyes closed. Place your feet on the ground or floor and begin to, by breathing slowly in through your nose and out through your mouth. One more time, in through your nose, and then out through your mouth. You may now begin to feel Saint Germain and all the divine beings who are gathered here today on this amazing spiritual journey. You may also see the violet flame that surrounds you at this time as it permeates every fiber of your being. A healing has begun on all levels, stronger, accelerating the healing process. Removing all that has held you back on a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level. Continue to breathe as all issues you've had are becoming transformed, transmuted, and healed. You can feel the warmth and healing of the violet flame as this amazing spiritual energy addresses all that no longer serves you, whether it is known or unknown. All issues are resolving at this time, in this lifetime, as well as previous lives. The areas of your heart that are filled with heartache, pain, and suffering are purified and completely healed. Saint Germain gifts each of you a violet flame that will continue to assist you on your earthly journey. It will help you to receive everything that is for your highest and best as it raises your vibration. This beautiful violet flame contains a very high frequency and is a powerful energetic tool. Assist you and will transmute negative energy into positive energy as it continues to resolve issues that occur on a daily basis. You will also be able to connect with higher energies, helping you to ascend and become open to other realms. Beloved, continue to say the violet flame invocation daily. As you do, you will become more aware of how you can work with this spiritual energy. Your intentions will help you to move forward too. Beloved, call upon me and allow our energy to become a synergy of energy divine. Your violet flame is a powerful tool that you carry within that will help you with your earthly evolution as well as the evolution of humanity. You are now one with Saint Germain. I got to chill. That is amazing. I love this because he's with us all the time whenever we call him. With these pilots, imagine what these healings are doing. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and give a new testimony So after each Mother Mary Sound Healing, Mother Mary Sacred Red Rose, St. Germain's Violet Flame Healing, without missing a beat, synchronicities happen so frequently, which I don't even write down anymore. These signs come in the forms of healing music, seeing different types of birds, cardinals, bluebirds, robins, doves, you name it, ladybugs, feathers, coins out of nowhere, symbols, sacred geometry. It comes in the forms of triple-digit numbers, visions, clouds, you know, someone calling my name, or someone even calling after I have, you know, had just prayed for them. And the list goes on. So by doing these healings, you know, just be mindful of the questions that you have and what you've prayed for, what you put into the Mother Mary Sacred Red Rose, the intentions you put out for Saint Germain, and just try not to overlook anything, because that's how I look at life, is everything is a miracle, or like nothing's a miracle, right? So I'm going to look at as everything, and I truly, truly believe this. So I'm a miracle. You're a miracle. Use the I am affirmations, you know. I am the resurrection of light. I am successful. I am the door that I'm the open door that no man can shut. I am God in action. These are affirmations from Saint Germain. But anyway, just again, you know, when you do this, just be mindful of everything and anything, because if you look, everything is right there, always. It's just a matter of, you know, being open to what you're receiving, because you're always, always receiving. Okay.
I think it's very, very true. As you were mentioning, the so-called synchronicity, which is actually a form of a miracle, you know, I think my mother is now 97 years old. And in fact, as the elder in her nursing home, but it seems like particularly recently, as I've become more and more aware of, you know, the Saint Germain and the different kinds of affirmations that you've been doing, that each time I go over there, I will see either a cardinal. Well, I will see a cardinal with its mate, you know, male and female, kind of just doing what they're doing as I'm parking the car. And then last week when I went over there, I saw a bluebird, which really you don't see that many around this area. But sure enough, there was one. And each time I realized that that's the divine, you know, in a sense, blessing my mother, who, you know, it's just it's a really nice thing.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love it. Okay, well, thank you for that. So, James, right now I'm going to talk about some healing modalities and healing remedies, because that's what this show is about. So we can talk all day about eliminating toxins from our bodies and detoxing, right? But research also shows that toxins can include things like complaining, criticizing, being negative, making excuses, and gossiping. If you can cut those things out of your life will begin to heal and attract positive experiences. And, you know, just being mindful of that, you know, every day wake up with a grateful heart. Remember that, you know, a true test of our character is how we treat the people in life that we don't need. No matter what you're going through, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and your pain or whatever you are going through is temporary. So here we want to remember that life is too short to argue and fight. So don't judge yourself and don't judge others, because you never know what kind of battle a person's fighting. With that said, be strong but not rude. Be kind but not weak. Be bold but don't bully. Be humble but not timid. And be proud but not arrogant. So when prayer becomes your habit, miracles become your lifestyle. So always believe that you are already successful and that everything you need comes to you in divine timing. So keep winning in private, because not everyone deserves to know what you are up to, and always be the reason someone believes in the goodness of people. Okay, so moving on, traditional healing modalities and remedies. We're going to start with sugar, because this is fascinating to me. And dealing with, in a recovery stage of Lyme disease, sugar feeds Lyme. So staying away from sugar is really important for me. And, I want to be cognizant of that. I was in the past, if there was a birthday, I'm eating a little slice of birthday cake. But I now know that I can't even have that if I really truly want to recover in the time frame and follow the protocol that my chronic Lyme disease doctor gave me. Because I can see the light at the end of the tunnel here using all of these modalities. So sugar. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever wondered what would happen if you gave up sugar for 2 weeks? The shape of your face will change from a round, swollen, puffy face to a normal face. And it's also happening within your body. For instance, you're going to begin losing your belly fat without sugar. In addition, 4 parts of your body will start to heal, to include your vision, your heart, your kidneys, and your brain. In terms of your brain functions, your memory, concentration, and mood will begin changing for the better. So to recap, if you give up sugar for 2 weeks, you will be setting yourself up for long-term success and feel the benefits on your overall health and well-being. So, do this yourself. And see what happens. Okay. Again, this is mindfulness here. All right, I'm going to talk about water for a second. So did you know, here's the question, did you know that your brain needs to see water? So there was a long-term study that showed if you just walk near where water is visible for 20 minutes, it can immediately improve your mood. I've always known this because I'm drawn to water, and I'm lucky enough to have access to water. But if you don't have access to a body of water nearby, you can always visualize you are at the ocean or by a river or lake or stream. Remember that, visualization is a very, very powerful tool whereby you can really tap into anything. I use visualizations all the time. I wanted to do the rosary not too long ago, and I couldn't find my rosary beads. So what I did is I just visualized the beads, the rosary beads in front of me, all 5 decades, just, there. And I visualized them in my hands, and as I was, doing the rosary, I had my hands on each bead. So it takes practice, but once you start doing it really daily, which I do, you're going to see the benefits of it, and truly, truly, you can tap into anything. Okay, so healing, I'm going to talk about healing modalities for toothache and gum, because this is important. So if anyone ever had a toothache here, here are some simple ways to naturally heal your teeth and gums, along with warnings that accompany
using each healing modality. So scientifically, any type of tooth pain is connected to an underlying health issue. It's vital that you check with your healthcare provider or dentist before starting any regimen, because we are not medical or dental professionals. All right, so the first one is apple cider vinegar. We've all heard of the benefits of this, but did you know that it's an antiseptic and anti-inflammatory, it has antiseptic and anti-inflammatory properties? So apple cider vinegar can kill tooth-causing bacteria and relieve pain. All you have to do is simply dip a cotton ball in the vinegar and apply to the achy area. To date, I could not find any warnings associated with using this remedy, but still check with your health care or dental professionals before using this remedy. Baking soda. Baking soda has anti-inflammatory properties as well as relieving pain and swelling and clean the infected area. What you want to do is mix 2 teaspoons of baking soda with lukewarm water and swish it around in your mouth for about 30 seconds, then spit it out. Again, same thing. I couldn't find any warnings associated with this, but go ahead and check anyway with your professional healthcare team. Cinnamon. Cinnamon has antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties. Research endorses chewing or sucking on a cinnamon stick or making a paste by mixing 1 teaspoon of cinnamon and 5 teaspoons of honey and applying it to the achy area. All right, coconut oil. Coconut oil, and I do know the benefits of this personally, can help remove pain due to its antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties. It's suggested to try swishing 1 tablespoon of coconut oil around your mouth for about 30 seconds and spitting it out. So again, you know, with all this, you know, these remedies, it's your responsibility to determine if you're allergic to anything mentioned here before using it. Cayenne pepper. This is a great source because its compound blocks the sensation of pain from traveling between your brain and nerves. You can relieve a toothache by mixing 2 tablespoons of cayenne pepper with 1/2 cup of coconut oil, then swishing it around your mouth, then spitting it out. Another one is vanilla extract, because it has anti-inflammatory properties as well as alcohol, which is an antiseptic that kills toothache-causing bacteria. It's suggested to dab a cotton ball in vanilla extract, then apply it to the ache to clean the area and relieve. Green tea. Green tea contains a compound that reduces inflammation. Research suggests heating a green tea bag in water as though you're making a cup of tea, then cool the tea bag in the refrigerator, and then apply it to your achy tooth. Here's, you know, a few of my favorites as well. Honey has a powerful antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory property. Relieve toothache pain and swelling by dabbing honey onto the achy area as needed. Oregano oil is a natural antiseptic sometimes used to prevent tooth decay, and its anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties help relieve pain. Oregano oil is very concentrated, so you don't need a lot. Simply apply a small amount to a Q-tip and apply it to your toothache. Tea tree oil, which I've used for years, has an anti-inflammatory and antimicrobial property, making it effective for relieving pain and healing infection. Using a Q-tip, dab a few drops of tea tree oil onto your achy tooth as needed. Okay. I'm going to give you one more. There are several more, but for the sake of time, we'll come back to this later. But the last one I'm going to talk about is salt. So salt can reduce inflammation and kill toothache-causing bacteria. Suggestions include making a saltwater rinse by combining teaspoon of salt into a cup of water, swishing it around your mouth and spitting it out. I use this method daily. In closing, while it may be tempting to try a natural or home remedy or wait to see if your toothache improves, you shouldn't self-treat or avoid or delay. Toothache usually requires dental or medical treatment. The pain due to cavities can worsen at times, and some toothaches can be a sign of a condition that requires immediate treatment. So always be aware of that. Consult your physician. Okay. So we're going to move on, Jane, to the question and answer part of the show. Are you ready?
I sure am.
Okay. Speaking about artwork, do you still believe in channeling of your paintings?
Yeah, yes, I absolutely do. And as I described in my bio intro, there's no doubt in my mind that the paintings that I do, you know, they're coming from both the talent and the perception that I have, as well as the ability to transfer it onto the canvas, but also they're coming from a spiritual source as well. We're all connected in certain ways. Everything that's living is connected in certain ways with the universal spirit. And as I've mentioned before in the intro, observation tends to change the situation of the source and subatomic particles, as we would discuss later on with quantum mechanics, and you know, some miraculous way that is then transferred onto the canvas or to the sculpture, to the architecture, to the music. You know, obviously music is, the root word is muse. And muse to the classical era meant something spiritual. It doesn't so much today, which I think is a loss, because they absolutely believe, once again, the idea of inspiration. Now, there's a word that comes from inspire, and in the Latin, that means breath, the breath of spirit. So wow. It was clearly recognized at that time, and has been most of the time, and even much so today, but we can get into that a little bit further, but technicalities should not overstep the inspirational part, and that's coming from a spiritual source.
Okay. So you had said at one time that, like, spirit knows things in your artwork that, you know, sometimes they themselves may not realize in their waking consciousness. So can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, again, obviously something that's not, you know, I do a lot of, you know, people. I paint people.
Yeah.
Mainly do portraits and conceptual portraits, conceptual figurative work. But also I do occasionally do florals and whatnot that are, in quotes, inanimate. But they all have a life force. And even with the models, I don't think, I mean, the models don't recognize that this is happening per se, and I don't think it's any issue. It's just that it just becomes, as I say, I usually do a photograph, and I will take it from the photograph. I've done many paintings from life, but and in that case, you do sense the energy coming between the source and the artwork. But even in a painting, somehow or another, that's been projected onto the the photo, and then it gets, as I then interpret it or any artist interprets it, that then goes on to the canvas. Now, again, I would say that, you know, other than a very few people such as, Eckhart Tolle and a few others, I mean, they're at such an ascendant level, they would probably know in their waking consciousness the movement of their spirit, but none of us are really at that level, or at least I'm not even at that level. I'm just communing with it and then interpreting it. It's not to say that there's not talent and there's technical proficiency. They're all involved, but it's just like what I say with the classical era. They saw it as inspiration, and they saw it as coming from the heavens or the gods or whatever, as being able to transfer that. So
that's amazing. Basically, what you're saying is that these channelings come from divine dimensions. Is that?
Yeah, I think they do. Absolutely.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay, let's move on to question number two. Do you believe there is a science to art?
Yes, but there's also a gap between science and art, which the title of your program so aptly presents, Closing the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. I still see art as being fundamentally more spiritual. However, there's no question that the science of perspective, the science of blending colors, colors, we perceive colors because they become a form of vibration. And different colors have different values in that form. The tonality, the wavelengths, actually. Carmine, which is red, will have a different wavelength, I think a tighter wavelength than, say, azure, which is blue, which is sky blue. That's what it's called in our oil paintings. That has an entirely different vibration as well. So, again, they're vibrational, but you do have to reach a point, presuming that you want to do something that is fairly faithful to the actual source. I mean, I happen to want to paint impressionistically, but I still want someone to know that this is that person. Now, I think, I could take a photograph and, I guess that's going to be an exact representation, but there's something to art that, makes it more sing or dance or whatever. I'm picking up a characteristic. I'm picking up something from them that they like about themselves, and that comes out through the portrait or the figurative work. So, yeah, there's science. There's no doubt about that. But it's still basically inspirational.
Okay. Would you say that Leonardo da Vinci was the absolute master of blending science and spirituality? Science with spirituality.
He absolutely was. I mean, I can't imagine that there would have been any artist in history other than maybe Michelangelo. They're kind of on the same plane. But even Michelangelo would do things that would, in other words, he would show a more robust figure when he's showing Adam or whatever than maybe Leonardo would do. But the painting, The Last Supper, is the perfect blending of perspective and coloring, although we don't really know the actual colors at this point, but we know close enough. And he just had a manifestly divine ability to blend what I guess you would call the more scientific aspect with the incredible beauty of it. And it projects something far more than just the painting. I mean, you get the pathos of the Last Supper. And actually, they've done studies where they have, you know, they're each of the three apostles are connected in a way. So it's 3, 6, 9, and 12. You'll see that one's been leaning more towards the other. And it's all, I'm sure that there are mathematical equations that could be shown from that, but he just, you know, he was so far beyond that. And so
3, 6, and 9, James, isn't that the equation that answers all universal questions?
Oh, yeah. Well, they always have the, what it is, the power of three, you know, and we have it, of course, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Lord himself. So, you know, we always have that, and these are all things that he would have known, but I don't even know if it was that he was conscious of it. He may have been, because he was such a genius. But, and I don't mean, there have been other artists that were, well, I won't say to that level, because I don't think anywhere, but generally speaking, there have been many that have been able to blend that. That's what I see with it.
Came out with that number later as a mathematical equation. To answer, all of the questions. This is
what a great genius he was. I mean, do you know that? I mean, who else would have given away patents just because he wanted the world to have the gift of what he, electricity? And he actually gave that away. You know, he could have been the equivalent of a billionaire. But he didn't care. I'm so glad that his recognition is now being much more appreciated.
Yes. You know, the Chicago government actually shut some of his patents down that could have cured, like, world hunger. It could have, so many things that he had patents for in the past that were shut down. And you have to stop and wonder what's going on. He was so close to what I guess the shadow government didn't want him to be anywhere near, because that would impede on their greed, right?
Right.
It's a bunch of families who just...
issues with Edison. Of course, Edison got all the credit, and actually Edison became very wealthy in his time, but even he was eventually undermined by the powerful financial forces.
Right.
Just said they were going to take it all over. But he ended up being worth many, many tens of millions in an era that, you know, that was super rich. But be that as it may, Tesla is the complete perfect scientist that he did it just because of the love of discovery.
He must be, right?
Yeah. I didn't hear what you said.
Well, he loved, he wanted to help humanity as a whole.
I'm sure that was, definitely. I'm sure that was the case. But I just think he just loved the idea of finding things out, discovering them. And, yes, I'm sure he did that. I mean, he gave away, he actually gave it to George Westinghouse, who approached him and said, I can't win this particular contract. Coming down from, I think it was from Buffalo, New York, down to New York City. for AC versus DC without, and still have to pay you the rights to the patent. And Tesla just said, okay, I forego it. Now, I don't mean to make out Westinghouse as being a terrible person, because he did actually support Tesla for the rest of his life, but in a very, minor capacity compared to what he would have had. That's neither here nor there. It's just...
Well, I must say you're very knowledgeable in all of this, because I basically just threw out the 369 and went forward, and you are very, very smart and knowledgeable in all this. So thank you for all that. That was great. Okay, moving on. Number three, do you believe, James, there is a gap between science and spirituality? If so, do you believe it can be closed?
Yes. I mean, I think that there's that potential, and I don't think it's occurring now. I probably would be a lone voice in saying this, but I actually believe that there was something about earlier eras that they've been given shorter change since we were in the modern era. And there was a lot, of course, of things that were wrong about those earlier times. But the Renaissance, to me, was the perfect blend of both science and spirituality, that even though science was far less advanced then than it is now, but in many ways, spirit, I think, was more advanced then than it is now. So as I was saying about Leonardo da Vinci, I mean, he was a master of both the science of his era and the art. So it can be done, but I think today we maybe put an overestimation on formulas and mathematics and such not. But mathematics is still, it's a material art. I mean, everything about science is materiality, basically. And spirituality, I just don't think it, I mean, it's not. It's entirely separate. It doesn't need materiality. It's beyond that. It's a divine force. It's like we have talked about this in an earlier show. I don't understand how someone can see a sunset or a sunrise and call it some kind of chemical explanation. I mean, it makes no sense to me whatsoever.
No.
How can you see that? Or like I even mentioned about the birds that I would see when I go to see my mother, and I'm at a high emotional level, and I see the bluebird, which you don't see that much around, and she sees it often outside her window, the beautiful cardinal and cardinals. I mean, birds are kind of like messengers of spirit, I think. I mean, are there really terrifying birds? I mean, the other birds for sure. But there's such majesty to an eagle or to a hawk. I mean, they are powerful, forces, but they just have, you look at them and their eyes are so powerful and piercing. And I'm glad it's our national symbol. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I just have to say that I agree with you. Like the Renaissance era is just amazing. Just looking at the artwork, you can actually feel the spirituality in it.
Absolutely.
You see that in modern art at this time. It's magical, it's majestic, it's divine in nature. But I love the art from that era. I always have.
And Michelangelo, I mean, there was Raphael, who was probably the greatest draftsman who's ever lived. I mean, if you've ever seen his drawings, they're just, I mean, talk about, I mean, they just like knock you over with their beauty and precision and passion. Rembrandt, Holber, Hans Holber, I think he's the one, Holbein. He's the one that painted Henry VIII and made him look so terribly obese, which is kind of symbolic, really.
Very interesting. All right. Well said. All right, so moving on. Are you ready for number four?
Sure.
Okay. So you've mentioned a spiritual connection with Archangel Raphael. So I'm wondering, do you still experience his guidance now?
Yes, and that's kind of synchronistic. I didn't even think about that when I mentioned the artist Raphael. But yes, I definitely do. But I must say that just recently I've had experiences, synchronistic experiences with Archangel Michael, which is the great, described as the right arm of the faith. I believe his righteous might is being called forth. I see a slightly different vibe there than Archangel Raphael, who I think is more of healing, and I believe I get a difference. When I have experienced him, it's like just kind of like talking to another guy or something. He's just very, very comradely almost in his conversation. But Archangel Michael is just so powerfully magnificent. And I just happened to come across an illustration. I don't even know when it was done, whether it was recent or not, and it shows Archangel Michael with the sword in his right arm and the armor and everything else. And I think it's a powerful force, and I think there are things that could be definitely need to be changed. and I think he feels that way too. That's just my opinion, but I absolutely believe it's true.
Absolutely. So Raphael is, you know, you're saying this is synchronistic with, what I call him for as well. So I call him Mighty Archangel Raphael, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, every single day. Raphael, he is the color green, healing. So when I call him, I just ask for his emerald green cloak of healing to cover me or whoever I'm asking to be healed. Just put that emerald green cloak of healing on, us, to heal mind, body, spirit, whatever we're wanting healing with. And I also, he comes to me in the sound of, like, music. So there's a healing song that Sound Healing from Mighty Archangel Michael that is just so beautiful. I 1,000% resonate with this. I shared it with others. They just resonate with it. And it's just beautiful. And, as I'm asking questions sometimes or asking for healing, like that music, Sound Healing from him, will come into my mind. And I hear the music. And I know that he is actually healing, who I'm asking to be healed or even myself. it's just a beautiful thing. It's like he makes his presence known very, very strong. And then also, you know, Mighty Archangel Michael, he is, you know, he comes in as a purple light all the time. And he is, I look at him as protection because he will, you know, cut the cords of all things that really no longer serve us, right? And he does have that, you know, field of protective armor that I've even used in visualization over, you know, when I'm doing this for others, I'll put a visualize an actual shield of armor over that person. So, you know, you have the head, you know, dressed, and you have, I'll put the shield of armor over the arms, the legs, the, you know, a breastplate, right, over their chest. It's just really powerful. I just, you know, and like I said, he will get his sword and he'll cut the cords to anything that no longer serves us. And I love that. So that's my experience with
that. Yeah, I do too. I really do. Yeah, it's absolutely necessary to have a strong, strong force that can cut through things that don't work for you or serve humanity.
Right. You know, and I'll see their light all the time. They just come in, you know. And I've seen them. I've seen Mighty Archangel Michael, actually an apparition of them, him, quite a few times while, you know, either doing the rosary or meditating. It's really powerful, and it's also very consuming, like all-consuming, because he comes in with a shield of armor and his sword. So he's like this beautiful, protective bouncer, and it's just, it's amazing, and I truly feel protected at that point. So art is often considered the perception and projection of beauty, right? So do you agree with the description of art?
Yes, in general I do. I mean, we often say it's a beautiful painting or beautiful poem. We do this because it is, in some sense, physically or mindfully beautiful. We also say that a theory can be beautiful. An act of kindness can be beautiful. Of course, the sunrise or sunset is often seen as a paradigm of beauty. And that was more so in the purer sense, the physical sense of beauty, more so than in more modern contemporary art. But there's still a, even in an abstract painting, that the colors and the waves and the angularities, they're compelling. I mean, they're suggesting something to our minds. And often we can just do a painting. I do colors paintings as well, where there really isn't any direct subject. It's just movements of paint and colors. And, you know, they seem to be very much appreciated. And so they intrigue the mind and they inspire one to say, well, that's really attractive, that's really interesting. And in a certain sense, it can be seen as being beautiful, but not necessarily in the pure sense of beauty as a pure formula or the beauty of the stars in the sky or whatever that hit our eyes, and we just say, wow, that is really amazing. But these appeal to our minds. So, you know, that's just, so I think art still, regardless of what, there would be those who would say, well, no, art isn't just beauty. Well, that's ridiculous. Art is beauty, and it's beauty on different levels, whether it's beauty for the mind to appreciate or beauty for the eyes and the mind to appreciate, and very much the spirit. like I said before, it's coming from the spirit. And the divine appreciates us enough or so much that it's giving to certain people, I guess, the ability to produce these artworks.
Explained that beautifully. I mean, I've seen your work, and it's like a feeling that you feel when you look at your work, and it does. Yeah. It appeals to every part, you know, that you just mentioned. And I know that you're, you know, world known, and you have, you know, you're a well thought out artist, and you have private collections all over the world, where people have your collections. And I have to say, you know, it's just your work is extremely powerful and spiritual and appeals, like I said, to every sense that you just mentioned. So I just wanted to give you a shout out.
It's a gift. It's a gift of it's a gift of the divine. I mean, that's what it is. Now, is there a certain aspect that's within the DNA? Yeah, for sure, but it's definitely coming from the divine spirit. The universe is, you couldn't create anything that is as beautiful as what the Lord and the God has created for us. Well, not for us, just for whatever reason. I mean, it's just magnificent. And to try to reduce it to formulas and mathematical aspects, that's a reductive thing. It's so much more than that. It's why we live. I mean, because we live to perceive this and to see it and to be so gratified by it. And it reflects the heaven that, you know, we're going to at some point ascend to. Hopefully. I think, you know, there are those who won't, but, you know, most people will. And at some level, I mean, they may go through purgatory first, but they're going to go to a certain higher level. And that's, you know, I wanted to speak a little bit about karma, too. Not to get onto it too far, but there is absolute karma in this world and in this life. And for every action, there's going to be a reaction. There's going to be something that responds to it. And if it's an evil act, there's going to be a response to that. You're going to have very bad times ahead. Or if it's a beautiful act, you're going to be fortunate enough to get a response to that as well. But this all shows, in my mind, that there is a consciousness there in the universe. That there's a conscious power out there that is seeing all these things. Synchronicity proves that. Just like I mentioned about the birds. I mean, they don't just happen. They happen because, you know, the powers of the heavens want us to see that.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about cause and effect.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Right. You know, and in terms of what is happening, you know, each experience, you know, you can look at it as a, you know, learning curve and, you know, accept that for what it is and let that go. You know, with the waves of, you know, the vibration of that experience, and it's just, you know, we're asked to just let it, you know, go. And look, you know, there's times when it's very difficult. And, you know, if a bear was running after you or a lion or, you know, those type of things, you know, you don't just stand there and go, oh, I'm just going to let that experience go by. Right? I mean, you're running for your life.
Well, I mean, come on. Yeah, we got to eat, too, you know? I mean,
right.
So, you know, I just think the beauty of Christianity is the forgiveness of it. And that was the beauty of Jesus, among many other things. But I don't have any comparison with other faiths. As long as there is faith, then there's spirit involved. So I just think that's a really good thing.
Absolutely.
Did you want to talk a little bit about quantum mechanics?
Given that, and, you know, can quantum mechanics, like, bridge the gap between science and spirituality?
Well, sure they can. I mean, they're the one thing that we have been able and gifted by great, great scientists like Einstein and Heidegger to have discovered this. I mean, they know that a particle on some particle, let's say a subparticle, whether it's a neuron or a proton or whatever they're called today, neutrino, if its rotation changes, then its partner particle could theoretically be on the other side of the universe. But even in experiments, they can show that if it's 1,000 miles away, instantaneously, that partner neutrino or whatever it is, electron, will immediately react to it. Now, I've recently read something where they tried to say, well, that doesn't disprove that nothing can go faster than the speed of light. Well, to me, that disproves it, because if something can happen on one side of the universe and it responds on the other side of the galaxy, then the speed of light has nothing to me to believe in with it. And that's not to say that Einstein didn't come up with the greatest formulas for material physics. I mean, he absolutely did, and opened up so many miracles of the material world, but it's still the material world. And with quantum mechanics, we're seeing an avenue where the spirit is showing itself through materiality. It's just absolutely miraculous to me. And there's also that, where you were kind of referring to that earlier about water. They can see where, let's say a Buddhist monk, this is in Japan, prays over a pond or whatever, some kind of water source. They'll first take some samples of the water, and it'll look very jagged and very, you know, broken up. And then after the monk prays over it for a certain period of time, they take the same part. They'll take water from the same source, and it'll be beautiful in its forms and its crystals. Well, no, I don't know if the crystals, but in its
crystallized water. Miraculous.
It's absolutely miraculous. And
you know, when you say praying over the water molecules, I do this over my plants and pretty much over everything, but in terms of that, you know, using those water molecules, which is
scientific because they can prove this, and they have over and over again. You just say a happy word, right? And that's what you're talking about. You say the happy word, you know, this bottle of water, and with the intention of happiness, you know, grateful, blessed, and those water molecules crystallize to form beautiful shapes where, like you said, the you referred to them as ragged, looking crystallized shapes. They would come when you would say ugly and, mean and, disgusting. You know, it's just amazing the power in our words over this water. Like I said, I've done this, with the power of the words like that on my plants. And I have to tell you, this is an honest to God story. Like I've had, I've been given like flowers, for instance, from the kids or whatever. And these are just cut flowers, And you would imagine that they would, just wilt after a week or so. But these cut flowers lasted for like 2.5 months. I mean,
wow.
Because every day I would give it a powerful, I love you. I'm grateful for you. You're beautiful. And it was amazing. Like, I was actually experimenting with it as well. And, at one point I was like, oh, my gosh, like, this actually happened. It worked. So.
Well, prayer is that. It's an intentionality. And that's what you're doing, in a sense. You're praying
yeah.
for its well-being. And that's how it becomes so much healthier. And, not to get off the subject or anything, but you mentioned about sugar before. I was going to actually intervene there. I hardly ever touch sugar anymore. I haven't touched it for 30 years, probably 35 years. Now, once, like for my birthday, I might have a piece of birthday cake or something along that. Well, I actually had some tiramisu the other day that was unbelievable. But I just, if I have anything that's really sweet and obviously has a lot of sugar in it, I just don't feel good anymore. I just absolutely. And the other thing, I've probably been taking vitamin E and vitamin C every day for at least the last 30 or 40 years. And I absolutely am convinced that vitamin E is so good for your skin and your hair and so many things like that. And we don't get enough of it unless we take a supplement. Vitamin C too. I mean, yeah, I get allergies. I definitely do that. But I don't remember the last time I ever got a cold. I mean, I just don't get them. Even during COVID, I made sure I took a lot of vitamin C, a lot of vitamin E, and a lot of D3. And fortunately, and I was out in the public, as far as I know, I never got it. Now, again, that's not to say that I couldn't have, but I think there are certain things you can do to build up your own immunity powers. And I'm a complete believer in those supplements.
I feel like vitamin E is like a DNA game changer.
A what?
I said vitamin E, I feel like, is a DNA game changer. Like as far as the health on your skin, hair, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just will never stop taking it. They're the three that I take every day. I also take a multivitamin supplement, but E, C, and D3 every day. Once in a while, if I feel like I need to get a little bit sharper brain power, I'll take my B12 or B6. But and D. D is really good, but as long as you're out getting some sunlight, you're probably all right on that.
Rosemary oil is also good for your skin, your hair, your nails. If this is a natural, essential oil, you could just rub on your hands. I wouldn't suggest any of it, but if it's I put it through my hair, I put it I rub it on my face. You can't get it too close to your eyes though, because it's very concentrated and powerful, so it burns my eyes if I get it too close. But otherwise, it's really great. And B12, I definitely take every day because that just gives me energy.
Did you say B12?
Yeah. It helps me.
Yeah, I take that pretty often too.
Yeah, I take that. But I take an organic natural form of it. But all those that you mentioned, I also take magnesium, fish oil too. But there's a lot of different supplements. But I think you hit on the really good ones. So,
yeah.
Okay. So let's move on. So we're at the portion of the show where James and I are going to share a what the bleep moment. So are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So this is my what the bleep moment. So while taking pictures of the moon recently, I picked up all the intense energy that was dancing around it while videotaping. And as this happened, the moon literally presented itself with different colors, shapes, forms that were coming in and out, all at once. And even I, who have experiences about everything in terms of energy and metaphysical experiences, I was so excited, literally blown away with what I had experienced. I have this video, and it was just amazing. I was in awe, and just to see, because I can see energy anyway, but to capture it on a video was really amazing. And you can't deny it because you could see it. You literally can see it. So it was magical. And I was so excited. Even sunsets have that energy around it too. I am obsessed with the moon and the sun, the ocean, just water in general. The stars, it's all amazing. Do you have a what the bleep moment to share?
I have a couple of them. The first one is a sad event, but it was a niece of my wife horribly was killed in an accident. Car accident and going over one of the bridges in Philadelphia. It was I can't even describe the grief that went down. She was very young. She was only about 18. It was just a horrible, horrible event. But she had a beautiful spirit, and she would just do kind things. For example, it's just a small thing, but we had decided we weren't going to be giving gifts at Christmas to the cousins or whatever. And we kept it limited to our immediate families. And she just gave us all a gift that Christmas. She knew she didn't have to, but she just had that kind of soul about her. She just wanted to. So it was so tragic, but I was beginning at that time, maybe more than beginning, but I had been doing a lot of meditation trying to get a higher level of consciousness, a higher level of spiritual awareness, reading a lot about Buddhism and whatever, and just like I say, meditating a lot. And I could feel her soul at our place, you know, after it happened, and I could feel that she was there, you know. And this has happened to me before with other departed spirits. It always happens, actually. So, you know, I always try to guide them to go towards the light, go towards the bright light and of heaven, and that, well, that I want them to be staying down here on this plane. But the one thing that was the what the bleep was, a few days after it occurred, I went and I got the newspaper. It was our city paper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I went to the obituaries and I opened them up, and there I saw the obituary for her, and in the middle of that obituary was a black teardrop. In fact, there were two of them. There were like one or two teardrops in the middle of the obituary. And
wow.
You know, obviously, you know, a skeptic would say, well, that they're just ink drops. Well, they weren't ink drops. They were a way of communicating and kind of reflecting the whole tragedy and the sadness and hers, I guess. But, you know, she,
wow.
As far as I know, she went to other places. Another real quick one, kind of related, was when my grandmother passed on. She was about 83 or 4, and a very loving woman, beautiful woman. But that day of the funeral, I happened to be, I forget where I was, but I just wanted to take a walk out in the kind of a field. And I took a walk out in the field, and as I was walking along, suddenly seven doves just flew up in my path, and I knew, you know, that was a sign that, you know, she was definitely in a better place. Yeah, it was really beautiful. So there were them. I have some others, but why don't you do another one? Do you have another one?
Well, related back to sugar, I could let this know. I'm trying to think of one. But I have some, this is which one do I want to share. But, you know, on the topic of sugar, I literally was in my dream, because I had half a piece of cake, okay? And I felt horrible. Like you said, there's an overwhelming sense of unwell, you know, when you're ingesting something that you shouldn't. And sugar is one of them for me, and I had to use a cake. And that very night, my grandmother, my 10-year-old, she came to me in a dream, and she said, "Do not eat sugar." And I'm like, "Oh my god, okay." Like that was just, you know, to be able to move on in my healing process. With this Lyme disease, she's like, "Do not eat sugar." She literally came to me in my dream. So that was a pretty, that was a what the bleep moment for me.
You know, I was going to say earlier that I think one of the things about that the spirit, you know, comes from divine dimensions, and I do believe that dreams are kind of a cousin of that. I mean, I don't know that they're directly related. I mean, directly spiritual. Well, I think they are, but they're more like a cousin. They sort of blend the consciousness that we have in our everyday life with the spirit, and they send us messages in many times, in many ways.
Well, I've had so many experiences with dreams, and they say to write them down. Every time, and I do have a journal, and to write them down, because they're your subconscious mind. You're tapping into something, but also your loved ones and spirit literally come to us in dreams, you know. And I make sense of, you know, there's a direct connection between your life at that point and, you know, where you're going. And sometimes it's a matter of, like, going back and just facing, you know, what's going on and moving forward. But this was a direct connection. Like, my grandma literally came through and was like, cut off his hair, right? But I have lucid dreams. Like, dreams are very, very important. I have lucid dreams where I share this with my first cousin. And the lucid dreams, I will have a dream, and it usually is, you know, it's something that I've experienced in a dream, but it doesn't, even though it's, you know, sometimes it's, I know it's not about me. It's about later. Anyway, it's about someone else. So, and these manifest within 1 to 3 days. Like, there is no doubt in my mind what a lucid dream is and a normal dream. These are powerful. Like, they are as real as your everyday living. There is, you know, you cannot differentiate real life experiences with dreaming. It's a real. So I'll give you an example. I've given this before, but I was supposed to go on a boat ride, a sailboat ride, right, with a friend, and he had this. I was supposed to go to Annapolis, and we were just going, you know, there's a crew on the boat, and, you know, it was a very big sailing vessel, and so I was excited to be on this, well, to be been invited anyway, and so it came, you know, so it was the night before, and I had this lucid dream where I ended up being burned in the face. Like, I had a burn mark in my face, like a hole in my face. And I woke up from that dream, and I was literally, like, overwhelmed with anxiety, and because I truly thought that there was a hole in my face, like a burn mark. And so I leap out of bed. I'm literally crying. I'm, like, sweating. I'm just so distraught. So the first thing you do is run, you know, look at myself in the mirror, and there's no burn mark. But it was so disturbing to me that it took me quite a while to, like, you know, move on from that. But eventually I did, and then I start getting ready. It's about an hour before I'm ready to leave, and I get a call. And, my friend said there's been a change of plans, because one of his crew members, he lifted, I don't know what he was doing, but he ended up, there was an explosion, and he burnt his face.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, you know, I'm like, I die. You know, so, my journey is including, you know, trying to figure out, who this is happening to, because they never really know who it's going to happen to. All I know is it's happening. And I have several experiences like that, to the point where my cousin had asked me to come over, and she said, I have something to tell you. And she tells me about her lucid dreaming, and it happens, you know, comes true within 1 to 3 days. And I said, why didn't you tell me earlier? She said, because I thought you would think I was crazy. Because, listen, what are people going to do with this information who don't have these experiences? You have to be open to it. But, you know, neither one of us are lying. It's happened. There's proof it happens. And I said, well, I have something to tell you. And I told her I was experiencing the same thing. She's like, well, why did you tell me? I said, because I thought you would think I was crazy. You know, so I held on to that just with myself. Like, I didn't, even when that person called to tell me about the crew member that had burned his face, I didn't say anything because I don't think he was in a position to hear that kind of thing, right? So for a long time, I just stood off to myself, you know.
Sure.
So anyway. Yeah.
Well, I had some reasons that I would I'll hold them for another time, but I think at one point I had a Satori. We used to have a place where I lived. Actually, it was the highest point in the city, Wilmington here, very small place, and it kind of was like a, what do you call that, like a sanctuary? I don't know. There's probably another term. In the back area, and I would go back there and just sort of meditate and watch these beautiful sunsets over the city. Mm-hmm. But one time I was doing a lot of meditation at that time, all the time. And I felt this like overwhelming sense of, you know, awareness and ascendancy. And it was like I was not even really in my body. I was like ascending, like my whole spirit was ascending. And I guess that's sort of a Satori. Where is a Satori? And when I looked around, I saw this one building, and I never really noticed it before, but we were high enough up that way I could see buildings that were, you know, slightly below us and over the house, the home, the place where we were. And it was like the side of the building showed like step-like steps. I don't know what they were. They were like somehow the asphalt had just come apart, but they were like steps, and they were going all the way up the side of the building. And I thought, well, that's what it is. They're ascending, and I was ascending as well. So I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway,
We'll have to continue to share these because they're really powerful experiences.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move on to the Oracle card reading for the collective. And as promised, here it is. So I pulled from the Kyle Gray Gateway of Light Activation cards. And I pulled the Earth Star Activation, which says anchoring, grounding action, and Isis energy. So here you see the Earth Star Chakra, which is found about 6 to 12 inches below our feet. It is the energetic portal that connects us directly with the soul wisdom of Mother Earth. It's our gateway to a space of sacred magic and mystery where we will find a lot of the spiritual tools used to connect with the earth and our wisdom. So on the card, again, the Egyptian goddess Isis appears on this card as a spiritual guide. And she is the high priestess of the stars, who knows the importance of connecting with, you know, this world, stay grounded, aware, and manifest. She's that person we go to manifest all that we need, right? So, you know, to connect with her, you can just imagine deep roots from the soles of your feet penetrating the earth and anchoring around a giant copper crystal star, and then visualize streams of consciousness moving up into your feet and, you know, receive that. And really the message here is when you draw this card, know your first star has been activated, and the wisdom you once ignored is finally being acknowledged. It says, too, it's important information. The important information is about to be revealed to you. So wait and just stand strong. This is a time of integration and rest rather than pushing forward. And great wisdom lies within you. So it's saying dive deep and find it and trust in yourself because you have more strength than you realize. Now, can you connect with that somehow, James?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's Isis is also the goddess of loyalty and love. I mean, she, you know, I could go into the whole thing about Osiris, but she puts them back together.
Well, you
right? I'm sorry?
Have you channeled her before? Has she come through for you before?
I did a painting called Alexandrian Isis that I definitely think so. And I called it that because Alexandria was the Hellenistic capital of Egypt. It was after the great periods of ancient Egypt. And so the painting was more, I mean, it was the gods of Egypt were completely being manifested during that period, but this was after Alexander the Great had conquered Egypt. But so whatever the inspiration for me was in this painting, that I saw this image of how Isis would look in the spiritual sense of that era. Let's put it that way. But, she was really quite an interesting character and beautiful, beautiful soul of the era and of the time. I mean, I've always been, you know, it was interesting. My mother was too. My mother absolutely, and she's like 97, as I said before, but she would always say when I was younger, you know, I think I lived in Egypt. And she just loved reading about that era and the Greek and the Roman too, but really the Egyptian era, and kind of feel like maybe I had some connection there too. Because I don't care what they say. I don't believe that for example, now they're saying the mainstream archaeologists don't say this. They still say that the Sphinx was built in about 2500 BC, and by the way, that was 5,000 years ago, and Christ was walking the earth only 2,000 years ago. So that'll give you sort of an idea of how ancient, even today, to them, it was. But now there are many, many newer archaeologists who believe that Sphinx was built something like 8,000 or 10,000 years before that. And there's reasons for that, because they see erosion on the side of the Sphinx that would have come from water at an 8,000 years before the 2000 BC. Egypt had huge lakes and huge downpours. It was a completely different climate. It was there's hardly any rain there for the last 4,000 or 5,000 years, but before that, it was a lot of flooding, and they're seeing that erosion on the side of the Sphinx. But I also happen to believe that the pyramids were probably built before what they say too. But
you have to wonder how they got there. Do that, right?
No, I know. I mean, even now, we can't even do it. We have modern equipment, right? I don't know.
It's our planetary families. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
And also other things, like if you read up on it, like there's several tunnels in the Great Pyramid. There's one very small tunnel that they've been able to find. I forget what they call it. Out of the Queen's Chamber, I think it was, they call it. And it's like a small tunnel. It's only like maybe a foot and a half by a foot and a half, and it goes all the way from the Queen's Chamber all the way out to the outside of the Great Pyramid. And by using not drones, but mechanical well, kind of like mechanical drones that with robots that can go through it. They've been able to clear it out, and it go points directly to, I don't know, which star is that? It's the star that's in the belt of Orion. I forget which Sirius. I'm not totally sure, but it points directly to it, and that's clearly a sign to me that they were in connection with those star beings.
That's amazing.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something definitely there.
Maybe
okay.
It was
Perseus. Well,
look into that. Mm-hmm. It might have been the star Perseus. I'm not positive. It was Sirius or Perseus. But,
report on it later, or they, listeners can check it out themselves. But that's some really interesting information.
It is.
It's just something that's so interesting to me. You know, it always has been. So do you want to, James, before we close, do you want to tell the listeners how they can connect with you?
Well, I do most of my posting.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do most of my posting now, which are my paintings. Almost all of them can be seen on Instagram under J Carr Art. That's JCARRART. My name is J Carr, and I actually the name I go by on my paintings that I sign them is J Carr, but it's JCARRART. I also paintings less, but often enough on Facebook, and that's under Jim Carr. And my email is jamescarr1019@gmail.com. And I do have a website, and it's carcom1/jamescarrart.com. That's carcom1/jamescarrart.com, or you can just look up James Carr Art. You can call that up on Google, and it will come up. But you really see most of my work, and I know not everybody has registered on Instagram, but I just find it so much better than just doing shows or whatever. I mean, I love to do shows, but I mean, I'm limited to the audience that I can reach compared to what I can do with Instagram. So that's I try to post about twice a week, and I'll do a reel or I'll just do a posting. And that, like I say, is J Carr Art. Well, thank you very much. I really love it. And it's really an interesting show, I think. I hope.
It was great. I enjoyed speaking and I enjoyed you on the show, and I feel like we had so much powerful information to give our listeners. And as always, I always appreciate you, coming on, and I'm just so appreciative. So thank you so much. But we have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to reel it in and just say in closing, I just like to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We're so appreciative and, hope you resonated with the information given tonight. And we look forward to connecting with each of you next Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern time. So with that, God bless and good night.
Yeah, good night.